Okay. What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they gonna say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're gonna make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, hope base Jackson Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Frank Fahey on the phone. And we had Friday. We were off due to illness, eh? And Matty on the producer side.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I was in Texas.
Yes, you were. All your exes in Texas?
No. The only city.
Tennessee.
Yeah. The only city worth visiting in Texas is Austin, and that's where I was.
You're not a big Dallas fan or rest of them?
Dallas is okay. Okay at best. Yeah, and Houston and San Antonio are not even worth your time.
No, I would go along with that. Frank, how are you? Last day of the
I'm
year.
Good.
Last day of the year. So the president is playing his pocket call on the last day of the year. They just want everybody thinking that we were down on the year because of him. Just saying.
Yeah, I expect he gave us a warning with his semi-positive tweet about China on Friday. Expect more today.
Yeah, well, China's manufacturing activity contracts even more than expected. I don't know that we can. Can you turn a billion people economy around like in a day with a tweet? Do we think we can really do that, or is only one person in this country think that?
I guess one.
Yeah.
Well, no, there are the true believers. That solid 30% that's going to be there no matter what.
I know. I was with a couple of them yesterday morning. Interesting. Good morning.
You need a new church.
wasn't church. Anyway, I won't go into who the creatures were, but I'll just say that they're close to me. I guess the theme to the show is, for those that don't know, how can anybody possibly know, Frank, but the theme to this show is, the theme of Seinfeld was a show about nothing.
That's right.
That literally was. Well, I think if there is a theme, mine is that everything depends on everything else, and you can sort of, there is only one subject. And you know where I sort of got that, Frank, is I saw the light in grad school in business. As you work your way through into advanced marketing, advanced accounting, advanced finance, you realize that at the top level, it's sort of almost the same subject. It's the same thing the marketing guys have to worry about, or the same thing the financial guys got to worry about. It's the same thing, the accounting guys got to worry about. And if everybody's not on the same page in the different disciplines, and they don't understand the other discipline, they can't get anywhere. It was like Belushi seeing the light, me being Belushi. I was probably more like Aykroyd than Belushi, but I was drawing the parallels between the two people. I was watching Face the Nation yesterday. And of course, the two people I was with totally closed their mind off because they think the lady's liberal. I think she's cute, but that's just me. I think she's actually very bright. What happened to the, I thought, what was the name of the guy who was on Face the Nation forever? He retired. I thought some guy got the job. No, this lady's been doing it for a while, and she's really good. Did they dump him?
I have no idea.
Anyway, because I used to listen to her on the radio all the time, going to softball. And anyway, so they've got four or five, six of pretty high end people from the press community that are capable of talking history and talking. Constitution. Talking.
Margaret Brennan is the host of Face the Nation.
Yeah, and who? But she didn't get it right after.
She was named the host on February of 2018.
Well, who was before her?
I'll try to find out.
Because there was a guy in the middle. I thought anyway, but I think she's good. And of course, the people I was with didn't think she's good at all, and too liberal and that kind of thing. But I was watching the Clemson Notre Dame fiasco. And you know, Frank,
it was John Dickerson from 2015 to 2018. It's been Margaret Brennan since February. Before that, it was Bob Schaefer from 91 to 2015.
Yeah, Bob Schaefer's a guy.
So he stopped in 2015. Then John Dickerson replaced him briefly for 3 years, and then she's been hosting all this year.
Yeah, he's listed to Bob Schaefer all the time. And he did a couple of debates, too, didn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
So I'm watching the Notre Dame-Clemson game. Now, of course, Clemson's a better team. They won, blah, blah, blah. And the Irish put up a fight, but Clemson's obviously better. Interesting to see how well they do against Alabama. But I started doing some research on this drug thing, Frank. And it strikes me as people... I mean, one thing, I will give credit where credit is due to our president. It isn't very often, but once in a while he comes up with a nugget. I won't say what they used to say on the trading floor, Frank. I'm not that mean. You can say it, though. What is it? You got a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then?
the one-eyed man's king in the land of the blind.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. Anyway.
That's what my dad used to say.
The idea of having a press that is not independent. Now, his idea of independence is if they like him or not. So, I mean, it's not my idea, but is a problem for me as well. I don't necessarily want, a huge kind of I don't want Google buying a paper and resisting antitrust problems with Google, which, if you have 100 papers, that's not a problem. If you have 2 papers, that's a problem. And we're starting to get there. And and Maddie, you and Kevin, I don't know if you remember it, had a very interesting discussion, I'm going to say 3-4 years ago, regarding the total uselessness of ABC as a news media for sports when they are hooked up with ESPN. I don't know if you guys even remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're so tied into the NFL, they're so tied into college football, et cetera.
I mean, this thing with these... when Howard Cosell could never get a job today. There is no friggin' way that man gets a job today. Because you
go to Syracuse.
Well, but I mean, I'm just saying this for those of you that don't know, and this is, and I don't want to spend too long on this. Although you can, the story is the story in every venue in the world today. Three idiots and Clemson test positive for this banned substance. Okay, so immediately have the stupid interview with the coach. I'm talking about. Let me kick this up on my email. I sent myself a whole bunch of stuff. The coach. Oh my God! I've been treated as an injury. How'd these poor guys get this stuff? They must have gone to, God knows where, the GNC, or they bought the wrong Vaseline or something. And this is in there. Back to the day when who was the quarterback on the Bears, Manny? Jim Miller.
Jim Miller, yeah.
Actually went to the GNC and bought some stuff that it was in there. And I will say that, Frank, as we age, I'm gonna bet that there's something in your house, because I know there isn't mine. If you go get say you got a skin rash or something, or you've got any allergy problems with your eyes, I'm gonna guess that the drug you get. There's so much steroids in it that we're not being told that if you went and tried to take a test, you'd be banned. Okay, so
I have the list of it because I always toy with doing master's swimming again. But Ostarine is not approved for human use.
It is not approved, so there is absolutely zero chance that this is picked up by anything anyone would normally buy. And that's the impression that 300 million people in this country have.
Well, and here's what gets me. We know basic statistics. It was a random sample of 10 people on the team, and 3 tested dirty. Now, you and I have both taken enough statistics. We understand sampling and distribution from being traders. How many would have it? Do you think the 30% would hold if we did the whole team?
I think
would there be 36 people that are dirty?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is we this to me, and again, everybody knows that, for whatever it's worth, I rant and rave all the time for us having like 90 million laws and caring about only the ones the president or the district attorney happens to care about that day. I think we should probably cut back on the amount of laws and actually be serious about them. Even if we drop down to 15 or 20 and enforce them, that's fine with me. But the idea that this thing the ESPN bought this crap and never said a word. I'm going to say, Frank, if you threw a yellow tape around that locker room and tested everybody or tested people after the game, like you do a racehorse and a jockey, they would have been disqualified.
You have to test them a week before. Usherin has like a half life of 24 hours. So these guys did it not too long before the test.
Okay,
look at half lives, it's gone in 2 weeks.
What I'm saying is that, you know, I don't know that much about this. I've been reading about it, but here's the thing: they let this coach talk about God. I can't imagine the kid must have bought something, you know, like in the drugstore. The coach is not that stupid. I'm not going to let an employee of mine, of Clemson, make a fool of himself. But as long as nobody challenges him, and nobody does. You can't challenge one of these coaches. And I was doing the game. I was watching the game with Kevin. He said, if you ask a wrong question in South Bend, you're never getting back in the coach's meeting. It's got to be the same way in Clemson.
Any town.
So, I mean, we're thinking this is regarding sports. If we get that way, and we are heading that way in politics, what kind of society do you have? The fact is, this team is dirty as hell, and this was either given to these guys by a coach, by a trainer, or by an alumni. And you give kids that are big and fast and pretty good, you give them 5 weeks off between a game, and all of a sudden you get 4 weeks to work out with this stuff. You know, I think, Frank, you know more than me. I'm going to say that all the stuff I was reading this weekend, that if I really put my mind to it, stayed out of the bar, right to the gym, and just pounded iron for a month, even at my age, you can put on a pound of lean muscle mass. And if you're younger, you could probably do a pound and a half or two. If you use this stuff, you can put on seven. Seven.
Well, the big thing is recovery, so you can keep on working out. I was talking to, I have a doctor who was a former world-class athlete, and I was borderline. And we were talking about what percentage of people, you know, do PEDs, of top athletes. I guess 70%. He goes, I think it's 80%. I said, he treats them, and he does. I won't say what sort of medicine. And they have to tell him what they're doing. And he goes, he thinks 80% of male world-class athletes, professional athletes, are doing PEDs of some sort.
This is called a selective androgen receptor modulator, SARM, and it was originally designed by for the treatment. Now, again, it's illegal every place, but you can get it on the net.
For testing, quote unquote.
Yeah, it was designed for people who have muscle weight wasting problems with chemotherapy, heart disease, or whatever. So it's designed essentially just like what's her name? Who's the smoking hot tennis girl that got banned for like a year? Sharapova?
I think it was, yes. Sharapova, yeah.
The drug she was taking. Now here's a lady that won, even though she was never as good as Serena, she's pretty darn good. She won a higher percentage of five. Oh no, women don't play five; they play three sets. She won a higher percentage of three set matches than anybody in like the past 5 years. This drug she was taking was designed in Russia, essentially for anybody who's ever seen a movie or had somebody maybe. I don't see too much of it anymore, Frank, but older people that had real heart problems, that if you, they started basically to have a grabber, you throw a little thing of nitroglycerin under your tongue, and it'll open up all the arteries momentarily, and then it'll last you for a while. That was designed for that in mind. And she's taking this at age 17. So it obviously was, you know, helped her in a situation where if there's not enough oxygen, if it's real hot or whatever. Now, what would you think if, and I guess, you know, people, if all of a sudden you had a football team like last night the Bears are playing, and it's fourth and one, and all of a sudden your offensive lineman popped into the huddle and took a sniff of this stuff or took a shot of nitro under their tongue, do you think they'd be able to push the defensive line out of the way for the next 10 minutes? I think so, or the next minute and a half. This stuff is very, very powerful. And this thing with Clemson, we just let it go. We don't care because we're so involved in this football. We really give a crap who wins a college. And I'm from Notre Dame. really when it changes anybody's life who wins a college football tournament? I mean, I think we need to get a life.
What's disconcerting is it's, once again, adults and the people in power not caring about the athletes.
Oh, they don't care at all for these kids. They could care less, especially a kid who's going to no. You imagine the amount of this is going down the first three and a half weeks where they're allegedly going to school and taking finals before practice even starts for these bowls. And I'm not,
have to recover from the season.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Maddie, you know more about sports than Tom and I. I'm pretty, individual sports centric, but what do you think about the PEDs levels?
As far as what percentage do I think of people are using illegal substances? I think it's, in professional sports, I think it's gone down significantly over the last 10 years, but still exists. But I do think it's gone down as the testing is increased. In college, as far as I know, it's rampant because I don't think the testing is nearly as stringent. And when you have kids trying to, I guess, make a name for themselves and have a chance to make millions of dollars, they're willing to take any chance they can.
Well, they're totally bulletproof in their mind. The thought of living 2 years less, 85 to 87, doesn't bother anybody when you're 17.
Right, and I don't think the infrastructure of college sports cares as much as baseball got killed over the steroid thing for a period of time, and they've really cracked down on it. And yeah, some guys are still going to take the chance and do it, and we see some suspensions here and there, but I don't think it's, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. No one's hitting 60 home runs anymore. I mean, it's not even close.
Right.
I do think it still exists, but I think the percentages have gone down in pro sports. In college sports, I think it may be bigger than we even realize.
And, I think you're right, Manny. I remember when they first started this, bi-week stuff in football. I can't remember. Where do you think that started, Frank? Where the playoffs, the Bears are obviously, and they have to play next week. The advantage that gave the team with the bye, where they could essentially go back to the weight room for a week, start popping their roids, go back on the weights, and then have essentially be in almost the same shape they were when the season started, then have the practice the second week. The advantage, just by looking at the guys running out on the field, this is 10, 15 years ago, you could tell a difference. Or am I wrong?
I mean, no, you're absolutely right. Go to a high school football game, and I'll sit there and look at kids. I'm going, he's 16. You cannot get that just by working out that.
No, you don't. There's no way. And the parents are blind, and if it's worth a scholarship, it's worth something. So I read this article from the Sun, whatever the Clemson Inkblot is, and the parents have to keep an eye on these kids. The parents. Do you think the parents have any control over this kid? These three kids? I mean, are there parents? I mean, I just think of this for me. College sports is not that important to me that I think kids should be wrecking themselves. I mean, how can we have a massive amount of investigations by Congress into baseball because parents across the country are pissed off that their high school baseball kids are taking steroids because the pros are taking it, and yet we don't really look the other way in football? Just saying. Enough with this, but I tell you what, I think Clemson, they should, I don't think Notre Dame deserves to go any further. They should just give Alabama. Of course, what happens if you test the Alabama people? I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, who's to say
that? What happens if you test the Notre Dame people, too?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. As far as we know, there's no difference with any of those programs. Throw Oklahoma in there, Georgia, a lot of teams.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
How can we forget Brian Brosworth? They'll never get any, break for me on any of that.
But where did Mandrich go?
Michigan State.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, there's people that we know and love in Chicago that may have gone to Notre Dame and played for the Bears that would say, when you're playing against four or five Big Ten linemen a year, you better not be 220 pounds and they're 270.
I had a cousin. I went and saw my Hungarian cousin was a world-class power lifter, And we went and saw Pumping Iron in 72 or 73, and he goes, Frank, you should be a professional bodybuilder. I said, John, I can't get above 170 no matter what. And he said, don't worry, I'll have you at 230 in 3 months.
Well, Dr. J went to, we used to, lift together all the time when we were both on the trading floor. well, lift, Janet lift, and I do some stuff. But, I mean, he says, well, for me, he goes, for a tall, slender guy, because I used to be very slender, he says, for you to be able to bench more than your body weight, he goes, is really pretty good. He goes, because you're more of a basketball, handball guy. You're not a football player. He said, but he goes, if I started pouring steroids in you, he goes, the interesting part is, because I knew guys I lifted with when he was in junior college, he goes, that are basically like you, just regular, slender guys that are, you know, pretty fast, and that's where most athletes are. I mean, if you go into a, you know, a really good park district and you see people, I mean, he's all of a sudden, he goes, but if I started giving you roids, not only would it help you, he said, but there's guys have been trying to bench 240 for years and couldn't make it. You know, guys that are 6'1", you know, 195. And he goes, all of a sudden, I give you a roid, and by the end of the week, you're doing 265. And it makes you a little meaner. He goes, it's the rush you get instantly is really incredible. You know, it's not just,
it's almost made for football.
Yeah. Well, and it's made for, but the recovery,
being a cop.
But in recovery, it's made for other things too. I mean, and everybody was always under the impression that it was the big fat lineman. It was the, you know, the Dave Butts that took it. Dave Butts didn't need it. He was a big plowboy. I mean, he might have helped out a little bit. It was the safety that wanted to be a big hitter that was normally 185 and wanted to play at 220. I mean, and wanted to be all ripped. Didn't want, you know, a big belly to give him 30 pounds. Those are the guys. Plus, if you want to turn around and play on Thanksgiving after you played on that Sunday, your recovery is dramatic.
Well, that's a big thing. I mean, you almost feel bad for the players when you're talking in those circumstances. When you're forced to play Sunday and then turn around and play on a Thursday, your body, even the full week isn't enough sometimes. Doing it on 3 days, it makes you wonder how they're able to do it. Are they just pumped full of cortisone or what?
Well, yeah, you do have to. But, I mean, if ever you had anybody in the family, and I'm sure everybody has at some point or will, unfortunately, if you have anybody who's ill, you know, had cancer, had something, and all of a sudden there's problems. I mean, when you start doing chemo and things, parts of your body kind of break down. Well, you can always give a localized steroid or something that will pump that part of the body. The recovery is dramatic. Like if all of a sudden you start having even lung issues, if you're doing care, I mean, you can take a steroid or a doctor will prescribe one, and all of a sudden your lungs pop back damn near instantly, right, Frank? But then when the doctor is going to say, well, wait a minute, now we can only do that once every 6 weeks or once every 8 weeks because all of a sudden the steroids will become a problem. And even though those guys are prescribing you the right ones. Now, Dr. J's dad, if you did a liver transplant, you're on a, quote, steroid for the rest of your life to stop the rejection. But you're under a doctor's care and there's a million different kinds of steroids. So it's not like they're not out there. But, of course, if you're 20 years old, if the jar says, safe to take one a month, what's the first thing you're doing? You're taking one a week. You know, if some is good, more must be better, right?
Anyway, feed your head.
Yeah, anyway, Frank, enough with that. We've got the market that's obviously going up a bunch today. We're up to 235 up in the Dow implied open, where Trump played his China card really over the weekend, and he and Xi are talking and are going to wrap this, quote, deal up. I don't know where that goes, but we always had a feeling that he had at least one push to the upside under his sleeve. And then the question comes down, as I was reading all weekend, is a move up like we've had in the last few days after being down, is that anything other than a bear market rally? Because no regular rallies are that intense. Those are bear market rallies. Now, are we entering a bear market? Are we not? What is this year going to look like? We got all kinds of stuff to talk about when we come back here for the break. But right now, we're pushing, you know, 200 points. Now, could these guys actually come with some kind of a deal in 2 days where they're both going to declare victory? I don't know. Is there damage been done, Frank? It seems like it has been in China. The manufacturing activity is lousy. Their exports are lousy. We have soybean people here and corn people that have their damage last year. So guess what? If they have to get foreclosed on and go broke and declare bankruptcy and lose their farm this year, we cut a deal with China, are they back in business? I'm thinking no.
Nope.
I mean, this kind of stuff, there's a difference between the pain that you and I see people having because of really ignorant policies in Washington, and the people in Washington never feel any pain, Frank. It doesn't appear to me. Maybe you get tossed out of office, but even that, you know, you still get your pension, you still get everything else, right? So we're not
insurance, especially.
Insurance. You still get to use the congressional workout facility. So if there's a lobbyist, you can be pumping iron with a guy telling him about your country, company, and nobody else can. That's amazingly unfair. Anyway, we've got the S&P futures up 25, Dow futures up 253, NASDAQ futures up 74, oil up $1.13. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Frank Fahey on the phone. So do the Bears have to pay a royalty to the University of Chicago for the millions of Monsters of the Midway shirts they're selling?
Good question.
I'm thinking no.
They were the original Monsters, huh?
Oh, yeah. Where's the Midway around where the Bears play?
When did the Bears take over that name?
16? It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Midway is the University of Chicago, the Midway.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anyway, S&P futures up 24, Dow futures up 246, Nasdaq futures up 72, oil up $1.01, but 46.34, 10-year yield all the way down to 2.72, and we're still bitching at the Fed. We're not exactly sure why, but the yield is all the way down there. Over in Europe, we had the DAX is unchanged, FTSE down 5, CAC around. You know what? I'm going to see where these guys are all open, because it doesn't sound to me like they're open. I'd be up, so let's delay that one. Nikkei down 62, Shanghai up 10, Hang Seng up 341, 1.4%. We'll get a different view of that later. These guys are off on all these days. We have to actually be here at the end of the year. Oil up $1, 46.34, ran up $1.39, 54.60. That spread is now back up to $8.20. Natural gas 310, now 450. Evidently the cold winter is withering. RBOB gas 1.34. Meaning oil, 1.71. All right, guys, guess what I got gas for yesterday? Eat your heart out.
What was it?
$1.75.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Where'd you go, like North Dakota?
No, I was in my same spot, 143rd and Bell Road in Homer Glen.
Wow.
Silver up 8 cents, gold up 240, 1285 in the gold. As you've seen that in a while, we got for us traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. As you can expect, we're off to a very quiet start on New Year's Eve morning here on this Monday. No issues coming in on the south side. Dan Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, all quiet. Same with the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Kennedy looks good in both directions, although it does look like we have some emergency road repairs on the inbound side at Pulaski. There's a significant pothole in the right lane.
Yes, there is.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen that one?
I hit it last week, and let's put it this way. If I wasn't in the Suburban with load range E tires, it would have been a problem.
But that has the right lane of the Kennedy block just before Pulaski, so keep that in mind as crews work this morning to get that fixed. But everything else is all quiet out there, and it doesn't look to be getting any worse anytime soon. So enjoy a nice quiet commute if you are coming into downtown this morning. Weather today, we'll have some showers that should remain rain and not be a snow or ice mix, but we are going to be in the 30s, so there is a threat of that, but we're supposed to be in the upper 30s, so expect some rain accumulation, a high of 39. Right now it's cloudy, relatively dry, and 38 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, rain in the forecast down there as well, with a high of 52. Right now it is clear and 38, so we're 38 in Chicago, 38 in Phoenix. In sports, the Bears finished the season at 12-4, better than pretty much anyone imagined. I thought they would be good, but 12-4 is really good. And after taking care of business against the Vikings 24-10 in the game, everyone thought they were going to rest their starters. They didn't, and in fact, a lot of them played in the second half as well. And the Vikings couldn't get anything going. Bears dominated the game, win 24-10. So the Vikings are out. The Bears will host the Eagles, who won in Washington. And that will be a Sunday game at Soldier Field. Bears are 5.5-point favorites in that one, so looking forward to that. Arizona Cardinals finished their season at 3-13. I believe they'll get the number one overall pick. They lost on a last-second field goal to the Seahawks 27-24. Seattle is heading to the playoffs as the number five seed. Sunday Night Football, it was a play-in game down in Nashville, and the Colts took it to the Titans. 33-17 was the final, so the Colts are in the playoffs. The Titans will go home. And their season is over.
If they go home, they were home.
NBA basketball, the Bulls lost in Toronto 95-89. In hockey, the Coyotes lost to the Vegas Knights 5-1. They were blown out in that one. College hoops, Northwestern blew out Columbia 75-54.
Chief. You lose the play-in game at home, do you still have to go home? We already are home.
That's a good point. you are home. Although I don't think those players are from Nashville, but maybe a couple of them are.
That's a nice stadium.
It does appear to be a nice stadium. By the way, that opening weekend playoff picture, the Saturday games will be the Colts at the Texans. That's 3:35 is the first game, and then the night game, 7:15, will be the Cowboys hosting the Seahawks. And then on Sunday, the 6th, it's the Ravens hosting the Chargers, even though the Chargers have a better record. The Ravens won the division, Chargers are the wild card. That's a noon game, and then the Bears game is the Sunday marquee game. They'll host the Eagles at 3:40 Chicago time kickoff on Sunday. So expect cold weather. Bears are 5.5-point favorites. We'll see where that line moves throughout the week, if it moves at all. But there you go.
Where did the Cowboys? They were seriously struggling at 500. They finished 10-6. How many they won? They got clobbered by somebody lousy a couple weeks ago, but they must have won a whole bunch of their last 7 or 8 games.
They did. I want to say they finished like 6-2 in their last 8 or something like that. Let me pull it up to be sure. But yeah, they really got hot, and their schedule got a little easier in the second half. But they did beat the Saints, which was a big win in Dallas. And they played really well in the second half of the season. I'm not sure what changed. Their young tight end really emerged, and he had a huge game yesterday too. This Jarwin guy who really emerged in the second half of the season. They made a big trade with the Raiders, giving up a first round pick for Amari Cooper, and a lot of people questioned that. And he just had a fantastic.
They had no receivers halfway through the first half of the year.
Yeah, he seemed to really turn it around. I would say, for whatever reason, those two on the skill side really emerged, and that made a big difference. Their defense was always really good. They're pretty loaded on defense. Really good linebackers, and they're making plays. But the offense couldn't get anything going. They had a great running back, but they couldn't get anything going in the passing game. And then all of a sudden, Cooper and this tight end, Jarwin, really emerged in the second half of the year. And that seemed to be the difference. The Cowboys finished, let's see here. Looks like they finished going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so they actually won 7 of the last 8. They got smoked by the Colts.
Yeah, which is really
in Indianapolis.
Now I can understand how that could happen. The Colts look
good. Colts are good, especially at home. The Colts just killed them 23-0. They couldn't get anything going. But they won at the Eagles, and then they won at the Falcons, and then they played the Redskins, and then they beat the Saints, and then that's when everyone said, "Oh wait, the Cowboys might actually be good." Then they beat the Eagles again at home. And then they got smoked at Indianapolis, but then they took care of business against the Buccaneers and the Giants, and finished 10-6.
When you say the Cardinals have the number one pick, is there? I know it's early to ask you this question, but you do know this stuff. Is there a consensus number one or two or three pick out there that somebody really wants, or the number one pick's that much better than number four pick?
Well, a lot of people think that this Joey Bosa, the defensive end from Ohio State, that decided not to play this year, basically. after like 3 games, he just said, "I'm not playing anymore." But a lot of people think that kid is going to be the number one pick. He's just an elite pass rusher, J.J. Watt type of player. His brother is in the NFL and has had a really good career so far. But there's not like some, you know, can't miss quarterback or anything like that. And the Cardinals drafted a quarterback last year. If that guy pans out, Josh Rosen, then getting a big stud pass rusher may be the answer. So my expectation is Bosa, but those mock drafts will change probably quite a bit over the next 5 months.
They still have, and I tried to find it a little bit. I'm not good at this, but before they had all the million different stats they have now, where you can, you know, you get everybody's ankle size. There used to be a rating system. Frank, you probably remember this, and it was it a 10-point scale and or 7 or 8, where the like a 10 was a starter and potential Pro Bowler his first year, and 50% chance for the Hall of Fame. It's, you know, in most years didn't even have a guy like that. And the second was starter, freshman, or rookie year, blah blah blah. And they drop, you know, they would drop down to where, you know, special teams contributor for 2 years, potential starter 3 years out, that type of thing. In most years, they didn't even have a guy like that. And then once in a while, you'd get a Lawrence Taylor or somebody like that who was, you know, maybe a Butkus or somebody who you know was going to start instantly. Probably like this kid from Notre Dame on Indianapolis, the guard. But there's always a few of those people that everybody knows sort of in advance. I haven't really seen. There might be a couple of running backs that you never. There's nobody cares about running backs now. that there are. But in college ball, there's a lot of really good players. But is anybody that level? Maybe a couple of these defensive guys from Clemson or Alabama, possibly.
Well, they think Bosa, the kid from Ohio State, and I said Joey. Joey's his brother.
Yeah.
But Nick Bosa is the kid that is the projected number one pick. And if you pull up a couple of mock drafts, which I was just going off the top of my head, but now I just pulled up a mock draft, he is still listed as number one by far. He hurt his knee in the beginning of this season, and then he basically just said, I'm not going to play anymore because he didn't want to risk it. And he's projected number one. But then number two is the defensive tackle from Alabama, Quinnen Williams. And then,
he's stud.
Yeah. Number three is a defensive end from Kentucky. And then number four is a defensive tackle from Auburn. And this is, I'm just looking at a mock draft.
And then Lawrence was up in the top five, the kid from Clemson who didn't play.
So in this one, they have, the linebacker from LSU, Devin White, as number five. But yeah, I assume Lawrence from Clemson is going to be on this list here any minute now. But it looks to me the first six projected guys are all defensive players from around the country, and then the seventh guy is an offensive tackle out of Florida. So there's no quarterback anywhere near the top here. It looks like the first quarterback I see, there's a couple here: the kid from Missouri, Drew Locke, and then the kid from Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, as two potential first-round quarterback picks, but none of them near, like, the top five.
We don't
like
I didn't see a, like, a Willie Roth, or who was that big monster at Ohio State, the tackle who was probably one of the best tackles in football, even when he was still in college.
Orlando Pace?
Yeah. Or Willie Roth or Jonathan Ogden or one of those kind of guys that's, you know, going to be a 14-year starter and 10-year all-pro kind of guys in the offensive line. There probably are. I just don't, you know, kind of know who they are. So, Frank, what about this year in the market? We got to talk about the market. We have you because we have Eric here in a minute. What do you make of this? Are we entering a bear market? Are we not entering a bear market? Or can we turn this bus around on China? I think too much.
Well, we can. Of course, will we?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I want to be stupid, I'll make a, be proven wrong. I'll make a prognostication. But right now it's so hard to tell what's going on because the liquidity is non-existent. It moved on air.
Well, it's people get out of the way either way. You can't stand in front of the train. I mean, there's not a lot of individuals.
Well, it's not people getting out of the way. It's robots get out of the way.
Well,
the bots do.
We've talked. This is a much longer discussion, Frank. We've talked about nobody in his right mind would leave a standing order here. Unless it's a spread, and unless it's a price where you want to get. We've actually, by leaving standing orders because there's so few, we've actually gotten a few fills we never deserved because we're the only order there, which is even crazier.
Exactly.
Which I mean,
the only standing orders I leave in for any length of time are closing orders.
Yeah. But then you're liable to get
them. And that's a profit. I don't want to stop because it can whip there and back so quickly that.
Well,
I don't want to risk that.
What do you say next Monday when we have this holiday week kind of behind us? We'll talk about where we think the market's going next year. And Frank, the whole trick to making projections, you see, you and I are we're too Catholic. We feel like we actually have to tell somebody if we give a crummy, now we have to make believe we're on CNBC. You only tell people if you're right.
Speaking of being right, and I tip of the hat to Maddie for calling the Bears.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd be 12-4 good, but I think I was the only one maybe in the world that thought they would be good. I thought they would win the division. I thought they would be good. I thought Trubisky would be much better, and he has been. I thought the defense was great, even before Mac, and now they're elite. And I liked the coach. He just, something about him, I really liked him.
Well, we also had
Fangio.
Yeah.
That was huge, too. That was absolutely huge.
We had a lot of guys came back off injured reserve, and we've had a pretty good year injury-wise. That helps, too. You know, helps
all of it helps.
All right, Frank, have a happy new year, buddy. We'll talk to you later in the week. If we need you, we may.
Okay, we'll do. I'm around.
Okay.
Okay, boss.
Dr. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I just want to make sure we get rid of you on time so you can head out to New York. I know you and your lovely girlfriend are going to go to this, start assembling in early afternoon for this May for tea. As has been the case for years, the celebration will take place under tight security. Get a load of this. Would partygoers check for weapons and then herd it into pens? What are we, sheep? Ringed by metal barricades where they wait for the stroke of midnight without booze and without porta potties.
Well, this is the new normal.
And oh, by the way, it's going to rain all day, and umbrellas are banned because of security reasons.
Well, yeah. So we'll see what that does to the crowd.
You sure Tina's going to like this?
Rain might dampen the number of people more than cold or more than cold might.
Manny, what are the chances of Eric still having a girlfriend tomorrow morning after he puts her through this?
Is Eric? Are you really going? Is he really doing
Eric
this?
Eric isn't going to put his girlfriend through that because. So yeah, the chances of me still having a girlfriend tomorrow are actually very good.
Yeah. if you did that anyway.
Are you really going to Times Square?
No.
I was going to say, there's no way anyone would go to that.
You know what? None of us have ever been young enough to do that.
I would never even consider going to that.
Yeah. I never, even as a young person, never looked at that and said, I'd like to do that. You know,
I don't even like Times Square. I don't even like Times Square on a regular day.
Yeah, well,
Times Square sucks on a regular day.
Why do you have to stand in a pen? What's the purpose of that?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, that may be like the border wall. I mean, that may be a metaphor for a particular area you have to stand in.
Now, if we were there, Eric, we could get a nice table for four. We'll bring Maddie and Joe along. I could see a table for six overlooking.
That doesn't happen either.
So. Well, I mean, I could overlook the thing and watch all the idiots. That'd be quite a show, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you go there, you stand around for a long time, and you yuck it up with people. But I'm sure because there's so many restrictions on what you can bring in, it's probably not as much hoo-ha fun as it used to be. I mean,
well, don't they take
I remember back in the old days, going to the mall in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July was a lot of fun. But now it's very, you got to come in a certain way. Everything's got to be checked. Certain things you can't bring in. And it's the no kids running around the Lincoln Memorial shooting off fireworks like they used to. So it's different, but I'm sure the folks who will go there will be young people who will have a marvelous time.
I guess
going there,
Eric. Well, we're kind of talking about everything and anything. To end the year, as I started the show by saying and this is I know near and dear to your heart. For those that don't know, Eric is now a professor, but he was in the trenches as a beat reporter in Washington on the streets and so forth, so he knows a lot about a lot of things. And it was one of my better days when you and I ran into each other in a bar. No, was it a library? It must have been a library.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I was just astounded. You probably have better things to do, but have you followed at all the steroid thing with these three guys down in Clemson? And how it was totally washed from any of the broadcast, any of the interviews, any of the anything. And yet it could easily have been a very big, when a coach starts talking about how, they could just as easily went out and bought, Brill cream for their hair and all of a sudden it's in. Well, that's not true at all. How much does ABC investment in ESPN basically denut their ability to give news on sports?
It's a lot. Once it starts to break out in other news media areas, then they kind of have to. They can't really avoid it. Though sometimes they try as hard as they can. There've been a couple of occasions in the 1 year. This is a while back. One of their reporters was arrested for, urinating on a window on the heads of police officers. I think it was in Cleveland. And they kind of tried to bury that as much as they could. And didn't make a big deal out of it. If it had happened to anybody else, any other kind of an athlete or something like that, they'd have made a big whoop-de-doo about it. When they have to, then they will. I don't necessarily know if, in this particular case, I think it may wind up getting bigger now that Clemson's going to be in the, national title game, and there's got to be, what, an entire week before there's, you know, before the next game, you know, that it could wind up, it could wind up getting some fairly big play.
But it seems like they totally control the day. It's not like there's another game on another channel.
No.
I mean, where people there are going to talk about it and force them to do it. I mean, you really do the element. I mean, I was saying earlier, once in a while I have to actually agree with some of the things that Trump says, and I'm not so sure it's a good idea of Amazon to own the Washington Post or whatever the hell does. I mean, you know, as much as I didn't like the guy who owned the Tribune, at least he wasn't owned by anybody else. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's really the direction we want to go. Do you?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of things you can say about Amazon. I mean, the one nice thing is that Amazon has a lot of money, and so it allows the Washington Post to pretty much operate as it always operated, which is we don't have to. I mean, before the Washington Post was making a lot of money because it had such a huge penetration rate and its subscription rate was huge. And when you're making that kind of money, it really allows you a kind of a freedom to not have to worry about offending people if they're going to, you know, get mad at you. And then, of course, with Amazon now, you know, it kind of gives the Washington Post a kind of freedom where it can just do what it wants to and not have to worry that, oh my gosh, if we do that, we're going to lose even more subscribers from the small pool of subscribers that we have, because that's what's really hurt a lot of newspapers, is that, you know, their advertising revenue has gone way down and their subscriptions have gone way down. And so you've got, they're trying to hang on to whatever, subscribers they have, because that's what they hang their ad revenue, their ad rates on. And it makes them, frankly, a little timid, perhaps, because they don't want to, you know, we can't go out and offend anybody because we don't have enough subscribers as it is. So, you know, it's a kind of a, You know, as someone who used to work at that joint, you know, you kind of like feel like, well, you know, it allows the Washington Post to pretty much, you know, go where it wants to go in terms of its reporting, without having to worry that, well, if we do this, we're going to, you know, drive down, you know, we're going to anger the small pool of subscribers that we still have. And so, you know, I can't say that it's necessarily a bad thing, even though I am not always crazy about everything that Amazon does.
Well, I just you kind of wonder as things get, you know, smaller and smaller, and you start to see a lot of industries, and that's what I think a lot of the problem with the economy is, Eric, to be honest with you. I mean, a lot of the growth and everything comes from smaller places, and it's harder and harder for small places to exist. It seems to me, but if there's you know 10 newspapers, and they're all owned by a corporation, I guess I got a problem with it. If we still have, you know, 200, but Kevin was at the by the way, he missed being on with you the other day. Says to say hello. He was saying that nobody has more power than these colleges and these college towns. I mean, they're it's worse than Washington. I mean, if you walked into the thing after the game and you started quizzing this coach and, you know, basically his BS story about it was an accident, these kids got this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he says, you're never invited back. And it's all about access. And he goes, and he says in South Bend, it's no different. And
if it's about access, and also it's about the fact that, certain colleges, and their football programs and their basketball programs generate an incredible amount of television revenue. And that television revenue supports not only the football program or the basketball program, it supports every other sports program in the college, you know, including the women's sports programs. It's I mean, it just support, and it's, of course, in certain schools, particularly, you know, I would have to say in, you know, in the American South, you know, it's culturally, the football programs are so important that nobody is going to, nobody on the board of trustees, not the president of the college, not, nobody on the faculty is going to attack the football program because culturally it just will not, it will not fly, you know. And you know, the football program, I mean, the football program is untouchable. You know, no, you know, I would imagine that Notre Dame, the football program, is untouchable.
Well, I would agree. As a matter of fact, I was just gonna say, I'm not about, you know, not telling the truth about my own place.
Yeah.
Well, when you're there 45 years ago, it ceases to be your place. There's a lot of things happen in 45 years in a place. But, they will give you the same story. And yet, you know, I'm gonna say it's all BS, Eric, to be honest with you, because they would say, oh, it pays for the murals, it pays for this, it pays for that. The fact is, as you well know in colleges, and Eric and I have had this discussion, when the revenue is so high, all of a sudden the alleged costs start reaching up and grabbing the revenue. When they were talking about the assistant coach at Clemson making $2.2 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at a school like Clemson, wherever they are, I'm going to say, I have no idea what they're... It's a land-grant school, so it's probably 20, 25 grand to go there, maybe. So it's a state... When I say land-grant school, it's a state-backed school, correct? So let's say they're 25, which is most... You know, and they're probably 50 if you come from out of state, which is what most of those are. And Notre Dame's 70. Okay, but if you were to take any other school... Take Notre Dame, for instance. A liberal arts school... This massive football program, they got all these other sports, and they got intramural programs. And most of the students, even in a smaller school, are basically involved in the intramural programs. Yet you were to take any other liberal arts school, made charging 70 grand a year, without this massive gift of football, you'll find that the facilities and the intramural programs are sort of equal. Eric, I mean, I'm thinking that the football program reaches up, and the expenses of the program that people pile in there tend to engulf the revenue after a while, to where, you know, it's sort of like the lottery in Illinois paying for schools. After a while, it's just another pile, another pot for people to put their paw into, right? I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't help. I'm saying that the expenses, if you looked at it, the expenses and tend to eat the whole thing.
Well, you know, but again, you know, the reason that they can pay these kinds of salaries is that the money is there,
right?
You know, if the money wasn't there, they wouldn't be able to do it, and it floats not only the, you know, the men's sports, it floats all the women's sports, and you know, we should not just automatically assume that you know, the kinds of shenanigans that we usually, people oftentimes, think are going on with, the men's basketball program or the men's football program. We shouldn't assume that some of those things aren't also going on with some of the women's programs.
Oh, sure.
You know, and, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, this is the big game changer was, you know, the basketball and football produced such an incredible amount of money. For certain schools, I mean, it's this is why Alabama can afford to pay Lou Saban that kind of money, because the football program is producing so much revenue, and they're not, and let's not forget, they're not paying the players,
allegedly.
They're not paying them a living wage. I'm sure some of the players are getting paid, but they're not getting paid like, you know, anything, close to what their efforts are producing in terms of the revenues that the college gets.
Well, I'm just saying that, Eric, and I know I beat up. I'll try next year to do a little bit better on this, but I throw these numbers around because those sort of are my life. And when you look at, you know, if you drop these millions of dollars on Notre Dame for gross on football, you'd say, oh my God, nobody could basically piss away that kind of dough. But I go back to, remember when the conferences, when they went to a bowl game, they would have the expenses, right? And so if it was $2 million that you got for being, you know, University of Colorado or the Orange Bowl or some whatever, some crap, and then you split the rest up with the league. Well, the University of Colorado was perfectly capable of spending $2 million on expenses to get the team, the band, you know, a 747 full of alumni to drink and eat shrimp for 3 days. And guess what? They got no money left. I mean, you can fill up any amount of revenue with expenses if you try. I'll segue over to business. Look what our utilities do. You can raise that rate. We could triple our electric rate tomorrow, Eric, and within 2 years, Commonwealth Edison's gonna be down there saying it's not enough. Guess what? We gave the president a ten times raise, and we were eating all the money up. This is the cost. I mean, I watch and I marvel at how little knowledge there is. I mean, the market, nobody knows where it's going. So it's not like I can sit there and say I know where the market's going or don't. I know how to manage money for people in a way where I can cut their risk down if they want me to. That's what I can do better than just about anybody. But I'll tell you what, one of the few things I'm still pretty good at is I know what a cost is. You know, and all of a sudden raising your football coach from $2 million to $5 million. Now, that to me is not a cost. That's a serious benefit. or the president of Commonwealth Edison will double the rates. Now the guy makes $200 million a year. To me, guess what, Eric? That's not a cost. Come on. I mean, am I right? But you can always fill up.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you, if let's put it this way. What if somebody dropped $20 million on stocks and jacks? Between all the people and the producers, all of a sudden I'd have five producers. I mean, I wouldn't do this. I'd have five producers. Between all the contributors and me and the producers, we'd find a way at the end of the year to make a buck and a half, right? We'd find a way.
I think you'd probably do better than that.
You'd probably do better. Well, I mean, no. Why? I mean, you're the one who always talks about the middle management is eating up the dough. Is that a cost or is that a benefit? What is that?
I'm looking here, and I guess Notre Dame's football program probably produces about $112 million.
And that doesn't even include the amount of money you got to give the school to get the tickets.
Yeah. I mean, that's all told. All told is probably about, I'm looking at,
well, Texas.
There's about $112 million. They get $15 million from NBC.
And Texas,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Texas at one point was, this is going back 3-4 years, man, because we reported about it for like a week. Their net was more than Southern Cal's gross. But now, I don't think any of these guys count, and Maddie can probably help us here. I don't think anybody counts the $1,000 or $5,000 thing you have to give to the school in order to get the good tickets. I don't think anybody counts that.
Well, I think that gets counted, yeah. I mean, it gets counted in general.
If you count that, the Notre Dame numbers are much bigger than that. They have to be.
$112 million, and Notre Dame's not even at the top of the list. They're like about seventh.
Well, that's, I'm saying, if you,
yeah,
if you,
that's $112 million. That's, you know, that's a lot of money.
Well, sure it is. Well, you've got 80,000 people.
Yeah.
You've only got 10,000 students. Okay. But I'm saying, if you do the math,
yeah,
we can come up to the 112 number, is what I'm saying. That does not count me giving $50,000 to Notre Dame, which I don't, to get the best parking pass in the best spot. That's totally it, because now that's deductible. Although that's, I'm thinking a new tax law might not be, Eric. But
my point is that these programs produce so much wealth.
Yeah.
That a lot of people connected to the college, and I imagine that would also include the faculty, the board of trustees, the college president, and of course the alums. You know, they have a vested interest in not, you know, doing anything to try to kill that cash cow.
Well, and I'm going to bet with your esteemed position you have at your college, if you had that spot at Notre Dame, that you were on the 747 down to Dallas for the game in the skybox.
You know, I doubt very seriously if the faculty are going.
I'll bet
are traveling to see the team. I don't necessarily know if that happened.
I bet
that's extended to the faculty.
I didn't say the faculty. You were on the board.
What about the board of trustees?
Well, you were on the board of something, the faculty board.
Well, you know, it depends. You know, certain colleges, in fact, a lot of colleges, most, if you're on the board of trustees, you're already having to pony up a certain large amount of money just to be on the board. It's an expectation that if you're on the board of trustees, you're going to wind up having to, you have to fork over a significant amount of money to get a board seat. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if board members are flown to the games or not. I imagine that would be a really interesting thing to know.
I know.
I'd like to know actually if there were any board members from Notre Dame who went down to Dallas.
I'm gonna guess.
And who paid for it?
I'll bet Kevin will have the answer. Hey, all right. While I have you, what is and Eric? He comes on the show, so he studies his study, does his study on the markets and so forth. What is as you walk through the halls of academia every day? What are people's views of the last 2-3 weeks of the market and what's going on?
College professors are not necessarily the people who have a lot of money in the market because they don't have a lot of money. I think, just in general, what people, the thing is, unless you have skin in the game, a lot of this, and this was even true when Barack Obama was president, and, the market wasn't roiling like it is now, but it would be up, it would be down, and for the people who don't have money in it, it's kind of like, okay. I mean, it's not something that's necessarily going to affect you personally. It only affects you personally. For a lot of people, if they actually have money in the market. For those folks who invested right after the economic recession, and are pulling their money out because they figure, I can pull my money out and still make a profit. And still have a profit from, what I invested, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. The folks who are getting, really getting hit are the people who jumped into the market like in the last year. They're the ones who got really, really stuck, but I don't really know, there are all kinds of, the everyday average Joe or Jane who doesn't have any money in the market, and so, until it starts to have some kind of effect on the economy at large, in terms of if this is the harebinger of a recession, for a lot of people it's kind of like the market went up, the market went down, the market's going up, now the market's down again, because it's just not affecting them because they don't have money in it.
The most colleges and. I guess I'll ask you this question, and you'll tell us. Most colleges still defined benefit, or are they 401k type of retirement plans?
Yeah, it's 401k stuff now. A lot of colleges. Some colleges still have pretty good pension plans, but some colleges, when 9/11 happened, some colleges used that economic dip as a rationale for getting rid of their pension plans. That's what happened at Columbia. Our pension plan got frozen about 2002.
Did they go out and buy everybody an annuity that's separate, or did they just leave it frozen?
They left it frozen.
That's interesting. They didn't go out and buy you guys all an annuity. Because at Pullman, they bought everybody an annuity.
Yeah.
I'll go through that someday if we have any questions how that works. But it's so you do have a 401k, so the market does affect you somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. For those folks who have, but you have to go out and do a 401k. Some people don't. Some people haven't done it. They haven't done a 401k.
Okay. Well, because it's interesting to me that we have there have been times during the market, and again, I never profess to give anybody any predictions. My prediction on the Bears didn't go so high at 8-8, but the predictions that I will have, there have been times in the market where we've been down over a decade. There's been times we've been up. There's been times we've been flat. There's been times we've been violent. I mean, I've been at this for a long time. And the trick is to pick out yesterday, you know, the next decade or the next year or two or five or ten as your plant, not necessarily the last. Yeah. And it's amazing, Eric. I mean, you know, being a reporter and everything else, you know, people, the vitriol with which you've had the market change from essentially wanting managers to what I'm very good at, hedging people's stuff, protecting people's stuff, trying to, when markets are going to fly up and down over a period of time, we want to be protected on the way down. We want to maybe make a little more money in static markets. That all sort of went away to where the whole industry became, you don't want no stinking broker. You don't want anybody trading for you. You want, just give somebody some money. For whatever stupid reason, you're going to pay him 1% to do nothing. He's going to put it in some 401k, some ETFs, or he's going to buy 50 stocks, and he's not going to do anything. He's just going to let it sit there. And the market goes up every year, and that's the new investment. Okay, and that's been going on now for 7-8 years to varying degrees. If, you know, you go back, if you start at 2008, you know, but obviously if you start at, you know, 1998, you're not going to get the same kind of return. It's like, you know, when people tell you the market returns 7% a year, inevitably, Eric, the day they start is the day after the 29 crash, not the day before. I mean, right? So the idea is you're supposed to constantly tell people that you're doing this job for them when you're really not doing much, and the market is just going up. So all these people are now seeing on CNBC when they're basically almost sniveling about, you know, the tone change in the Fed and everything else. It's their world has changed. Okay, but now for me, it might be driving people to my world where you actually need somebody that, you know, that does something and or is capable of doing something, you know, should it happen. So these guys are like, wait a minute, you're telling me that the Fed's going to do something where I just can't gather $5 million worth of assets or 50 or 500, charge people 1 or 1.5% and do basically nothing for the year? That was great business. Well, duh, yeah. Well, maybe the next year or the next 10 aren't going to be like that. And I'm saying that the next 10, I've never seen anything like the last 10. I've seen them all different other ways. The chances are you can just let your money sit there for 10 years and have zero interest rates and people getting driven into the market because you can't make a dime in a savings. I don't think, you know, I don't know how long our lifetimes are, Eric, but I don't think we're ever going to see that again. I mean, I don't see why we would. I don't see why we did, to be honest with you, but fact is we did. And now it's kind of a different world. I mean, even guys in your, if you've got the 401k set up, the idea that you're zero cash, zero bonds, 100% stock, I think that ship is probably sailed for the next decade. Maybe not. You know, maybe the interest rates go back up or something, and at some point bonds are a buy. It's very possible. I mean, I don't think they are now at 2.7, but there's a lot of things that are moving around, shall we say, underground here, where the legs of the stool are getting rattled. And I don't know if the investment public is ready to listen, because this has worked for 8 or 9 years. Why won't it work again? Well, because
why won't it work again?
Well, because it didn't for the 10 years before. God, I remember I started investing, Eric, in 19. When was that? I was at Pullman, so 1970 something. And I'm going to say that I don't think a stock went up for 7 years. For God's sake. It wasn't until August of 82 you got any kind of rally. I mean, can you imagine today's world if you saw a stock market really from damn near 1968 to 1982 and never went anywhere? I mean, every time you invest in something, I mean, you know, you got some dividends along the way, but yeah.
Some people who, you know, for some people the new normal is I invest my money and I'm going to make a killing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, the way some people look at buying a house. You know, it used to be I'm gonna buy a house so I can live in it for 25, 30 years. And now it's I'm gonna buy a house so that you know, in 6 or 7 years it's going to appreciate significantly, and then I can turn around and sell it and make a huge profit off of it. You know, people seeing certain financial ventures as this is going to make me a significant amount of money in a relatively short period of time. And, you know, we don't necessarily know if that's going to continue.
Well, timing is everything, as they say.
Yeah.
And you, well, we have had a change. And now whether, you know, this ever comes back or whatever, I mean, you and I, you know, sometimes talk about over an adult beverage, is now when people ask me, do you think there's going to be a recession next year? I don't think I've ever seen, you know, you can tell me, or Maddie too, is it just I'm seeing things differently? Yeah, the greatest comment on this was my mother told me once, I watched Gone with the Wind twice. When I was 19, all I thought about were the parties and the outfits. When I was 35, all I saw were the wounded.
Yeah.
You know, you just see things differently. But I'm going to say, I don't think, really, that half the population ever came out of the last recession. I mean, it might have been a little better off, but really came out of it. And I've noticed from now people, you won't even guess. I mean, matter of fact, we had a stop Friday night. Some people I hadn't seen in a while. And there's a couple of attorneys in the group. And these guys are, you know, they're, you know, I'm going to say 50-ish. And all I could hear, Eric, was, where the hell am I going to get insurance next year? And how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah.
I mean, the panic on anybody who's between 55 and 65 trying to get insurance on your own right now is real.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, that person is not, I mean, you're, that person's not out of a recession. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not being counted anywhere. It's not anything. I mean, you talk about people whose taxes are now all of a sudden where, I mean, Audrey will tell you, there's chunks of the city or the county or the state here, and I'm imagining, I don't know about the rest of the country. I don't go there too much. Where the taxes moved, I guarantee you, you just said about making a flip on your house, Eric, you're never going to make money on a house, ever, ever, ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just in, you know, well, I know, you know, talking to my landlord, who said that, you know, his taxes skyrocketed, more than doubled.
Yeah.
From what they were, you know, he was on a, you know, on a 3-year cycle, and, you know, the taxes were, I think he said like $14,000, and now they're up to $32,000.
Yeah, now that takes, I'm going to say that has cut 20% of the cost off the price of that building.
Yeah, problem.
And I mean, I know people live on the what do you call like that area around like Superior and whatever. It's not, is that River North?
Yeah, I would call that River North.
I know guys that area has been, I use the term, kind of ignored by the tax guy for a few years, to where they were getting, quote, a little bit of a deal, Eric, in most people's mind. Not anymore. You know, I was with somebody, he opened up his tax bill. He goes, I'm up 30%. I said, okay, your place was worth $325 yesterday, and now it's worth $290, right?
And of course, it's different if your property is, you're a landlord, for instance, because you're at least getting revenue out of that property. But if you're like, it's just your house, you know, you're not, that house is not producing any revenue for you.
Well, that's right. And people look at, and again, when you learn about numbers and do it for a long period of time, people look at the, you know, and I've talked to some people that have just bought places recently. I said, you know, don't ask me whether it's a good buy or not. Just ask yourself, if the taxes continue to go up like they have and the interest rates go back to, quote, normal, to where the, let's say your mortgage is going to be 5% in 3 years or 4 years and your taxes are up another 30 or 40% like the city seems to be doing, who the hell are you going to sell it to? And they look at me and they go, well, I don't want to look at it like that. I go, well, maybe you better. You know, I mean, it's not about you. When the next person comes into your place, there's going to be a number that they can afford per month. I mean, right, your mortgage is no different than your rent. And that number is going to include your mortgage, it's going to include your taxes, it's going to include your insurance. And if a person can afford, you know, somebody and their wife, they both got good jobs, they can afford, pick a number, $4,000 a month, okay, which is a pretty hefty number. Now, if the taxes are 500 and the insurance is 200, that's a pretty good size mortgage. If the taxes are 2,000, right? Yeah. And the insurance is different, all of a sudden you sit there and go, wait a minute, I'm paying $4,000 a month, and I've only got $1,900 left for a mortgage. That's a bungalow on the south side, right? I mean, it doesn't cover a $450,000 condo, I don't think. You know, so
yeah, you know, I mean, for, you know, but you know, for some people, it's, you know, I mean, some folks have done very well in the last 10 years.
Oh yeah, well sure.
Because you know, you look at a place like you know, places that used to be working class enclaves, which, you know, a good hunk of Lincoln Park used to be.
Yep.
Certainly the southern end used to be. Or you look at places like Lincoln Square here in Chicago that used to be working class enclaves and are now high, you know, high rent district. And you know, it's also, you know we see this all over our neighborhood where, you know, perfectly good houses are getting knocked down because somebody wants to come in and build a three-story mini mansion or a three-story pile on a lot. And you know, there's some folks who just, you know, they just gotta live in Lincoln Park, you know, and they're willing to pay what they gotta pay to live here.
Well, and that's a good thing. You want people to yeah, be able to make a lot of money. Now, the problem comes is how much of that. I mean, in obviously in California, they have a dramatic, I'm going to say, problem, or a good thing, if all of a sudden your fangs continue to go up. So much of their state essentially revenue comes from a small percentage of people, basically in those industries.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, I mean, Amazon trading 1,400 instead of 2,100, it's not a good day for Governor Brown. Where, you know, it used to be, I mean, I say used to be, I mean, they have a problem, and if all of a sudden the market were to, God knows, let's hope not, if we were to go down by half, and all of a sudden Amazon's $700, I mean, you're going to see California, you know, back in the shtunk, right? Because their economy is based on dramatic increases in capital gains and in real estate and so forth, and in the massive bonuses and stuff those people make at those places, which is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But you're also, what I mean, what you'd like to see, Eric, is every man, you know, keeping ahead of the taxes and everything else. We're basically, like you and I were kids, you know, people made, pick a number, $100 a week and lived fairly comfortably, at least in their mind, on 80 and put 20 in the bank. I mean, I don't see the bottom 80% of the population doing that. Do you?
And that's the other problem is that we're getting, you know, we always had, you know, high end, low end, but there was a fairly wide middle between the high end and the low end of the economy. But now what we're getting is, you know, we still got the high end and the low end, but what's in the middle is shrunk significantly. And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm really worried. One of the things I'm really worried about is that we're not building. You know, we're, like, for instance, there's this whole big, huge Lincoln Yards project that's going to be happening between, you know, I guess Bucktown and Lincoln Park along the river, and some other projects that are happening, but nothing is being done to the infrastructure in terms of traffic flow. And I'm wondering, you know, how in the world, you know, the big thing now is all of the, you know, you got businesses moving downtown because this is where young workers want to live. But, you know, if the young workers are come here and find that their commute to work is horrific, you know, that the commute to work is, you know, you got to get squeezed into an L car like a, you know, a sardine can.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily going to last. You know, people may start thinking, you know what, this is not worth it. And, you know, there's all kind of building that's going on. And I mean, I say this because, you know, there's the old Children's Hospital site is now going to have two huge apartment towers on it. And they've done other building of apartments. A big, huge apartment got built near the Apollo Theater near Wrightwood in Lincoln.
Eric, you're not really asking for some sort of planning or any sort of vision on a part of
Because what I'm just saying is I don't know how these people are going to get downtown. Because, you know, if you're standing on the Armitage L platform during rush hour in the morning, you sometimes have to wait for two or three trains to come by before one comes by where there's enough squeeze-in room for you to step in, unless you're a very tiny person.
You think that
sometimes,
or you can squeeze in to get on this frickin' thing. And you know, I don't necessarily know what they're going to do because it's they're pouring more and more and more and more people into these certain areas, and there's not the infrastructure in terms of public transportation to get these people there, and then people are going to start going to Uber and Lyft, which is just going to throw more cars into the street because, you know, Uber and Lyft don't do anything to try to, unlike the cab companies, you know, in the old days, and we're kind of like, okay, we only want to have so many cabs on the street at one time. Now, you know, Uber and Lyft don't care, and so you've got way more cars running around out there because they don't put any kind of control on that.
Eric,
it's going to become impossible.
We got to dash the break here, buddy. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Happy New Year. By the way, we're going to have Maddie strike this whole last 2 minutes that you've talked because it would disqualify you for any sort of city committee. We don't want any sort of foresight. Who's giving us the most money? Let them build a place. Let me ask you this. Do you think the guy who designed New York without alleys, think he gives a rat's behind at this point, rich out in Long Island?
Probably not.
Take care. Buddy, I'll see you before New Year. If I don't, Happy New Year. SP Futures up 19, Dow Futures up 214, NASDAQ Futures up 61. Come back, Mr. David Adelman. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi. This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's John@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Blown up by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Weber on the board. David Anlin will be here in a second. S&P futures were leaking a tad. Only up 18 and a quarter. Now we're up 25 a minute ago. The Dow futures up 185. They were 240. NASDAQ futures up 55. They were 61. So still very, very positive. Just not as positive. We've got oil up 85 cents. It was up almost a dollar. Well, 85 cents is almost a dollar. 46.18. 10-year yield 2.75. Over in Europe, we only have the CAC Iran, which is up 51 points. They're open. And we have the FTSE's open, and they're down 5 points. DAX is closed. Over in Asia, we've got, I think, everybody closed. So, don't have to worry about over in Asia. They're closed today. So, it'd be nice before I give out numbers that to know they're actually closed. Like I said, oil is up 85 cents. Brent up 123. The spread has now morphed out to $8 and call it 25 cents. It was under 8 the other day. Natural gas 3.12, down a bunch. Again, as the winter is not considered to be as cold as it was a month ago. RBOB gas 136. Home heating oil up 170. I know I always get to rub David by saying I got gas yesterday at 175. He's always pissed when I do better than him. Gold up $3. Silver up 12 cents. Platinum up $5. Copper still 267, so if you're one of these people that tries to look at Australian copper as some of the stuff in China and these other markets, economies coming around, looking at copper, that's not happening yet. Anybody got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour, good morning once again to everyone out there. We have one significant issue in the area, a jackknifed semi, Chief, blocking the three left lanes on the outbound Kennedy just before Kimball Avenue. So this is disrupting our very quiet morning commute this morning because there's no issues anywhere else. But now downtown to Montrose is 15 minutes, to O'Hare 25 minutes, and that's growing as congestion is building on the outbound Kennedy. It's not yet affecting the inbound side very much. Still very quiet coming into downtown, but give yourself plenty of time. If you're heading out to the airport this morning or out to the northwestern burbs, this will be an issue that will last for the rest of the morning commute, I would imagine. A jackknife semi blocking the three left lanes. No issues on the Edens yet at this hour. Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside Expressways, all very quiet. Same with the suburban tollways. A lot of people off of work today. We do have some traffic lights that are flashing red in the northern suburbs. Route 43 at Half Day Road. That's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks wait to get through that intersection. But everything else is quiet. We do have a winter weather advisory this morning, though, for McHenry, Lake Boone, and Winnebago counties until 9 a.m. Because the precipitation that's in the area could be freezing rain in those areas, which would result in poor driving conditions, obviously. Cook and DuPage counties, though, will just see rain, as we will not be quite cold enough. We do have rain in the forecast throughout the day, and it looks like it's kind of drizzling downtown right now, going up to a high of 39. Right now it's overcast, dark, rainy, and 38 degrees downtown. But in the northwestern burbs and some of the outlying areas, that could be freezing rain, so keep that in mind. For our Phoenix listeners, rain in the forecast down there as well, a high of 52. Right now it's clear and 39. In sports, Bears wrapped up their 2018 regular season campaign at 12-4, the number 3 seed in the NFC, as they really took it to the Vikings yesterday in Minnesota, 24-10, a game that they were 6.5-point underdogs. Where they were expected to rest the majority of their starters. They played pretty much everyone for the whole first half and then played some of their guys in the second half as well, including Mitch Trubisky, but left relatively unscathed. Anthony Miller left with an apparent shoulder injury, and Taylor Gabriel left with bruised ribs, but we're still awaiting news on the significance of those injuries. Eddie Jackson, Allen Robinson did not play. Kyle Long played and then came out in the second quarter, got 30 snaps, and he was done, and he's ready to go for the playoffs, so that was good news. The Bears will host the Philadelphia Eagles 3:40 p.m. Sunday in that NFC wildcard weekend matchup at Soldier Field. The Cardinals finished their season at 3-13, and they will have the number one overall pick because they lost to the Seahawks 27-24. Sunday Night Football is the Colts in a play-in game beating the Titans 33-17. So the Colts are in. The Tennessee Titans are out. NBA basketball, the Bulls were in action. They lost to Toronto 95-89. Suns were off. Hockey, Blackhawks were off. Coyotes were blown out by Vegas 5-1. College hoops, Northwestern beat Columbia 75-54. Chief.
So instead of failing miserably, if you could get us press passes for at least the sideline, or I'd even consider a skybox, I'd go.
I would go to the Bears playoff game. It's a day game, but temperatures are probably going to be in the mid to upper 30s. I could do that, although I'd much rather be on the Cadillac Club side or a skybox.
I'm not going to be up with the grid unwashed. It's
probably not.
Skybox or sideline.
It would be pretty cold. But yeah, that'll be good. Haven't been in the playoffs in quite some time. Haven't hosted a home game, and to be 12-4 and win the division, impressive season.
Maybe a bar stool to Tripoli.
That would work too. Patriots have a bye. So
what if we were on the great on one side, like ran into Shanny? How low would that be?
Well, I sent out this morning just now, revisiting our show predictions. Shanny had us at 9-7. David had us at 7-9, and Chief had us at 8-8. And I said the Bears would go 10-6. So we were all wrong,
yep.
But some of us more optimistic than others.
Well, they've had every year is a different year, and they've had a good year. They got a club that obviously they're all on the same page. They're a likable bunch, and they are pulling. Winning helps, especially when you're young. And
I think it's hard to argue now that against Ryan Pace, who he's whiffed on some guys. Certainly, Kevin White appears to be somewhat of a bust, although he had a couple of catches yesterday. But he's really accumulated a lot of talent over the last 4 years. And even some of his later round picks have turned out to be really good. I mean, Eddie Jackson, a fourth round pick, who is going to the Pro Bowl. Tariq Cohen was a later round pick, and he's accumulated a lot of talent on defense. Brought in some free agents at the wide receiver position specifically, and it looks like he's built a very good roster here, where they're young and they're together. And then swinging that Khalil Mack trade was a huge move. And then Matt Nagy appears to be the right coach, and they're set up to be very competitive here for the next few years. Now, the NFL doesn't always work that way, but they're at least set up.
Well, you get two or three injuries, you can get something else, and then you give up some of the draft picks. I mean, a lot of bad stuff can happen. I mean, some of these teams have 12 people in IR. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Last year, the Bears had nobody at the end of the year. I mean, right?
Well, typically when you're bad, no one comes back from the injuries.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When you're like Kyle Long, for example, wouldn't have come back.
Last year, no.
Last year. I mean, so, yeah, but it's sort of... I don't know, sort of a catch-22.
So, David, how are you, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and Matt and all the PTI gang and everyone out there.
So, this is the we're finally playing the China card, last day of the year. Now, the question is, and I don't know how much you can tell from China, but it says China's manufacturing activity contracts even more than expected. Their exports are lousy. The copper use is lousy. If we had an idea of how much electricity they were using, I bet it wouldn't be expansionary. We've got people here, I was listening on Face the Nation yesterday, people who, were talking about how in some of the agricultural areas that the one guy who was actually a Republican senator, he said, we gotta find a better way to deal with China except on the backs of American farmers. And How many people don't come back from this, David? Or people do come back and ends up with a quote deal that's a little better and we start off to the races again. And I don't know, how can you tell how much damage has been done?
you asked about 12 questions here, and I'm not sure.
Well, damage done, pick on either side. Know? I mean, how much damage has been done in China? How much damage has been done here? I mean, I'm going to say my opinion is I don't know, but it's not something to be fixed in a month.
Right. Well, we're not expected to. I mean, they have been discussing, and I'm not saying it's been real fruitful. It's probably been played up as being more fruitful than it actually is. But it isn't, just starting with Trump's phone call with Xi over the weekend. I mean, this has been carrying on for many months and has intensified probably in the last couple, 3 months, you know, since that meeting in South America. And, you know, at least the dialogue's open. I mean, I will give them that. How much progress? I don't know. How much damage? I don't know that anyone's able to really assess. My guess, educated guess, is that it's been more damaging to China because their total dependence on, you know, not total, I mean, they do have industry, but total dependence on export and trade, you know, unlike us, who we consume a lot of our own production, both industrial and, you know, intellectual and technology. So, I mean, for us, I think it's, you know, been a fraction of our very large GDP. For China, I think it's more. But it's difficult sledding ahead. I mean, it really is. I mean, either you, what I envision most likely is that the March 1st deadline, you know, for progress or additional escalation of tariffs will likely come and go, and this will be drawn out longer. They'll extend it another 90 days or another 180 days and no goodwill and oh, we're making progress and oh, they're buying rice even though they don't buy any and oh, soybeans and oh, they're promising not to steal intellectual property but, you know, there's no evidence of it and it'll be lukewarm for some time to come because for China to make an agreement that is really, really meaningful for what we want is for them to put aside their 2025 goals.
I'm going to lob one out there, and I'm going to also want Matty Weber to opine on something. This is kind of a deep one.
Plus, we have a tweet here about David's comment about the China soybean
Go ahead.
Issue.
Fire away.
Sure. Bob writes in, China soybean imports from the U.S. plunged to zero in November, marking first time since the trade war between the world's two largest economies started that China, the world's largest soybean buyer, has imported no U.S. supplies. So he says, what's the tariff on zero sales?
good question.
No, and that the listener is right to point that out, and there's no question about it. Now they have since then, you know, made two purchases. I can't tell you exactly the amount, but I think it's a fair chunk. I think there was and listeners can correct me if I'm wrong, but from just my newsletters and whatever, I remember in December, I believe there was a tender for about 500,000 metric tons, and there was another one, I believe, for like either 150 or 170,000 metric tons. So, and is that just goodwill? I'm not even sure as far as, you know, typical, but I think that's a significant amount of soybeans. Will that continue? Will they go back to being a regular customer or not? I don't know the answer to that. But, yes, they did shut it off for a month.
Well, I'm wondering if Bob was watching the same show yesterday on Face the Nation that I was. I interviewed the senator, you know, and I should remember these guys' names. I don't, but he's a farmer. And he says that there's a level at which you can't survive. He goes, I still have soybeans in the bin from 2016. Now, the question comes down, but kind of where I maybe wasn't as articulate as I should have been. Now, I'm going to guess, David, and again, without any knowledge or any, that the new soybeans, the Chinese, from what I understand, because we've done some, people who have been associated with PTI, have done some cash sales to China. Now, they're not with us anymore, but this is years ago. Chinese are very concerned about the quality and so forth. I'm going to guess, David, that none of those sales are the stuff that is in the bin from 16 or 17, and they're talking about stuff coming this year, and it's going to be first quality.
I would presume that you're right, and the USDA does designate that. They'll say, you know, 100, I'm picking a number randomly, 150,000 metric tons purchased from quote unquote unknown sources, presumed to be China,
yeah.
Or they'll say from China, and it's from this and this crop year, 2017-18, 2018-19, you know, to be delivered in the first quarter of 2019. And again, these are just random things that I've pulled out of the air, but they will make that designation so that you know whether it's fresh crop, you know, crop to be pulled in, crop that's older or whatever. If they don't specify, it could be older, but generally they do.
Okay, and because here's my question to both of you guys. I'll go south side for us on New Year's Eve. Every time something like this happens in my lifetime, no matter what it is, whether it be at the Resolution Trust with the savings and loans, had all these issues, whether it was 2008, 2009, whether it's the mortgage stuff going down, whatever happens, and we allegedly have these, I'm going to say, lame-ass federal programs that supposedly protect people, when the cobwebs shake away from the crisis, it always seems like the people who have a certain amount of money and have a certain amount of influence get stronger, and people who don't, smaller farmer who can't handle, like the senator said, if you're below a certain size, you can't make it, and you're declaring bankruptcy and you're selling your place. At the end of the day, the bigger people get bigger and the smaller people go away. Is it preordained? I mean, are we making our own crises just so certain people can benefit? Toward the end of, we have two or more crises of these, instead of, you know, 5,000 soybean farmers in Minnesota, there's going to be 1,000 or 800 or something. Is it on purpose, I guess, is my question, because I see it time and again. And every time that there's a federal program to catch the people that are in the crap net, it's never there in time. They never get their farm back. Nothing ever happens that keeps somebody in a spot. Even the people couldn't keep their house this time because the program showed up 2 years after the guy was gone, or the guy or lady was gone, or both. I mean, is that the real theme here? Is that what we're doing? You know, relentless. I mean, I was over at the breakfast at the series, and one of the ladies from who lives in Inglewood was asking me, because she loves when I come in, she asks these kind of questions. She goes, these properties keep getting bought up by the same people. What is the underlying theme to all this? Is it 20 people owning this whole country? And how can the rest of us resist it, or should we? Should we move? What do we do?
I couldn't agree with you more, and you know that if I disagree or we're just on different sides, I'll disagree, so I'm not just going along with it. That in a nutshell, and just one example, is the issue. I mean, I think that's why we've seen the sell-off. I think it's largely man-made, or whatever, to be fair, human-made. Between the Fed, between the trade, between the politics, between the investigations and that kind of stuff, I think it's very, very little having to do with real, and I'll put quotes around that, economic slowdown. I mean, it's there. Yes, there's definite slowdown, but a lot of that's psychological because of everything that's going on. And whether it's farmers or, you know, Target sales or, you know, whatever it is, this is largely human-made.
Well, but what about, I guess I agree with you there, which I shouldn't do on radio, but the rally was human-made too.
Yeah, no question. No question. And, yeah, and we pointed that out, whether it was, you know, share buybacks and, you know, borrow to pay an additional dividend, or, you know, other financial engineering, or the Fed, you know, pump, 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 and more liquidity, and we'll have the quote-unquote wealth effect where if people's stock portfolios go up, and that represents whatever, the 51% of the folks who can afford to have a stock portfolio, they'll buy more, and they'll quote-unquote create wealth. No question. It was pumped up by people. But I do think, as far as like cost-cutting and streamlining and some aspects, you know, 20%, 25%, big data, software, knowing the customer, what they're going to buy before they buy it, and inventory streamlining and whatever. I think the firms really, really woke up. So I'll agree with you 75%, and not really 25%. I think it was a real recognition and maturity of firms to wake up to the new economy.
I think that kind of efficiency definitely helps. But the continual beating up on of the population and the population, whether it's just being beaten up to the point where you can't strike back, whether it's student loans have doubled in the last 10 years. Doubled. And I was being challenged by a few people, and I spent time doing all this stuff. I found this site. No, there's no pornography on it, unfortunately. Wallet Hub. Instead of good-looking women, I'm looking at numbers. They trace credit card rates. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago, of course, Kevin, we'll talk about this a little bit more on Wednesday. I was watching a game with him. God, talk about a morgue. But anyway, we're watching the game, and I said, you know, Kevin, this trickle-down theory does not work. And I dug through and did some stuff. And I said, you know, I was able to get, I'm going to say 10, 15 years ago, I got a credit card at 7%, you know, because I got a good credit rating. And I went today to look. This is before, you know, the 2008 thing, where the Fed made interest rates pretty much zero for all savers. Now, in my opinion, if you cared, on the same theme we're talking about with the soybean farmers and so forth, if you're going to drive interest rates down to zero, if you cared at all about your population, you would make sure that those dropping interest rates follows through. So if credit card rates are 14%, the risk-free rate is 3, and you drop that to 0.5%, you'd sure like to see the credit card rates being 11.5 at least, right? Right, David? You don't see them.
I'd hope even lower.
Yeah, but you don't want to see them go up.
Right.
And my point is, we've had intelligent people on TV, or allegedly intelligent people. I don't know who they work for, the party line. It's such a bad term, but the party line. They'll tell you how the population has benefited from lower interest rates. Now, I'm going to say that the mortgage stuff did go through. I mean, your mortgage rates, instead of being 6, you could get a mortgage at 3.5, 4 pretty much for a long period of time. But I'm going to say, looking at your credit card rates in 2008, February 2009, we'll use that, were 12.97%. And now, in February, March, in May of 2018, they're 14.14%. And the lowest one I can find anywhere in Google is 13.9%. So the lowest rate from when I got mine at 7 is essentially doubled over that period of time, and the average rate is up 1.5%. As the government has blasted the largesse of essentially zero interest on savers and let banks pay nothing for it, and if you've got any kind of fee, it's negative interest. Yet the rate to our population has gone up. You can't tell me this isn't either intentionally ignored or actually planned, David. And who are these people?
I agree with you.
Where's this committee? I mean, who makes these calls? Is the Congress oblivious? The President oblivious? Is there a group of five people behind a curtain somewhere, like some people seem to think there are? I mean,
but this isn't really new. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, if you remember the Greenspan days, and I've always said, with all due respect, that he was the worst Fed chairman of all time, or at least in my lifetime.
I would agree with that.
And I mean, you know, he's raising rates, he's lowering rates, and, you know, then the Great Recession comes, and you know, for 2 years beforehand, he's saying, well, there's plenty of derivatives out there that are really, really scary. And what until the bubble literally bursts, until the leverage, as you pointed out, for 6 months before the bubble burst, you said, you know, geez, Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank and, you know, and all these folks are doing stuff at 30, 40 times leverage. When does this end? So you called it 6 months before, you know, the Fed or anybody else did anything about it.
Well, in all due respect, that was a terrific article by some guy from the Hong Kong, of all places. Because we couldn't get anybody here to write that article, David. S&P Futures up 18. Dow Futures up 187. Happy New Year, everybody. David, thank you. Thank you, Matty. Let's have a good one this year. Be back on Wednesday, Stacks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.